my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, we are going back to 1999. It was a movie I saw in the cinema, and this one's Samuel L. Jackson, Michael Rapaport, Saffron Burrows, and Thomas Jane, Dave, otherwise known as The Punisher, and LL Cool J as well. So this is a Jaws rip-off, Dave, science fiction horror film, Deep Blue Sea. So, and it was your pick this week, Dave, so why did you pick this one, and do you remember the first time you saw it?
Well, just we are recording slightly, you know, we're speaking to you from the future. Oh, no, it's from the past, really, isn't it? So,
yeah, from the future, yeah.
So as we are recording this one, I'm just about to hop off on my holidays and sweating. Actually, I've got sweaty palms now just thinking about it, about going into the sea, because I fucking hate sharks. I'm petrified of sharks, and this is not like everyone, I'm sure, if they came face to face with a fucking mako shark as in this or a great white or something, would shit it, but that actual paralyzing fear of just the idea. Chris, when I was a kid, right, I thought I was going to get attacked in my bed by a shark. that was you know, the shark was my kind of boogeyman. It was just something I was petrified of. And so, I mean, as I've gotten older, and I watched this one actually when it came out on video, so it must have been about 2000-ish, watched this one. And I have this kind of weird, like, I don't want to say self-sabotage, but like, sharks shit me up, but I can't stop watching them. Like, I love watching, you know, if it's Shark Week or something like that, watching documentaries. And then, you know, you get these fucking interviews with surfers and they're just like, just gave me a little bit of a nibble, like, you know, he's just, I'm all right, I've still got my other leg. And I just find surfers' attitudes to getting attacked and half eaten by sharks just amazing. But and I remember this one interview in particular that it is burned into my brain, because this guy was like, he said he was out there waiting for the waves. So he sat on his surfboard waiting for the right wave to come along, and then he just suddenly noticed he wasn't bobbing up and down in the water. He was kind of static in the water. So he turned round, and this great white was just having a little nibble on the other side of his board, you know, just curious. And he said, I started screaming, but no sound came out.
Holy fuck.
Just like, that would be me. That would absolutely be me. And I don't know. I can only imagine I'd have a fucking heart attack. But, you know, again, shark, he wasn't trying to eat him or anything. Can you imagine that scenario? So, yeah, I wouldn't say I love these type of movies, but, yeah, I just love to torture myself with these types of movies. I mean, how about yourself, Chris?
Yeah, I'm the same. I know when we did Jaws, it's like you grow up. I always gutted, Dave, when I found out that the sharks weren't the biggest fucking, you know, fish in the sea. I know that obviously whales are mammals, but, you know, you look at the size of some of these whales and they're fucking nothing. And then I realized that actually dolphins can give a shark a good kicking as well, you know, in a fight, you know. But growing up with Jaws and thinking they were just huge, obviously when we did Jaws, the VHS cover, the actual massive, huge mouth and everything. So I'm the same. I remember me and Sam, when we went to Australia in 2010, and the Maritime Museum is in Darling Harbour near Sydney. And there was a whole thing of like slavery, how all the English kids got sent to Australia and you know, all that. But then just randomly, there was these sharks' teeth. And Dave, there was one set of sharks' teeth that I stood up in. I'm 6'2", as you know, and I stood up in the fucking middle of these teeth. Oof. And there was different levels of shark teeth. You know, it's one of them where it's like, you know, the old, we need a bigger boat. We were sort of like, Sam's 5'4". And it was like, she got to the middle one because Stan did it. I couldn't. And you were like, what the fucking hell is this? This is like how I imagine Jaws, these massive, they were the biggest, supposed to be the biggest recorded shark at the time, you know, known to man. And they had the teeth and everything. So yeah, the same, you know, I've said it. I'm an absolute coward when it comes to these sort of, you know, jumping in the sea, these sort of movies. But we did see this at the cinema. This is like when me and Sam first got together, watched it on video. And it's weird because it's one that, as soon as you say Deep Blue Sea, I know it's a shark film. I absolutely know. I know LL Cool J's in it, you know, as the chef and everything. But that was about it. I remember Samuel L. Jackson, but obviously at this point, his stock was high, but he did quite a lot of B-movies. I mean, remember fucking Snakes on a Plane and that. I mean, I think he's got the record, or he's close to the record for some of them doing the most movies ever, Samuel L. Jackson, because he'll put his name to any old shit. You know, he's got some absolute god-tier movies, and then he's just got these ones where he's just threw it in there. We've covered a couple, haven't we? Obviously, in Pulp Fiction, and then there was that casino one in Vegas, wasn't there, which we did.
What was that one that we did? It wasn't The Saint or The Spirit or something, was it? The Spirit, where he was the baddie, and we did it for comics.
Yes, we did. Yes,
horrendous.
Oh, it's horrendous. I was going to say we didn't do it for this. Yeah, you're right. I remember. And yeah, so having him behind it, I was like, oh, and I like Samuel Jackson. We just watched Jackie Brown just before this. I didn't realize, but the set is the Titanic set. They filmed this on Dave as well, which is interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just same set. After Cameron finished in 97, they went into production on this. Bit of a difference, just a little bit. But when you picked it, I was like, you know what? I've not seen this for a long time. It must be 15 years at least. And I was like, no, I'm quite looking forward to go back on this one. Just to see, considering we've done Jaws as well, how close the two are. You know, like, I know it's 20-odd years later, but just to see what's happened and how it's progressed. I have thoughts, Dave. I have thoughts.
Very good, very good. Well, Chris, shall we get into our trailer?
Let's go.
Tell me, Mr. Franklin, have you ever known anyone with Alzheimer's?
No.
What if you could end all that suffering with a single pill? Give me till Monday morning, 48 hours. I'll give you results that'll skyrocket your stock price.
In the most advanced research facility in the world.
Wow.
Beneath its glassy surface, a world of gliding monsters.
A team of specialists is working against the clock.
Did someone order the fish?
On an experiment to benefit mankind.
Sharks never show any loss of brain activity as they age.
We're this close to the reactivation of a human brain cell.
But before they can save millions of lives...
Tell me I didn't see that. They recognized that gun.
It's impossible. Sharks do not swim backwards. They can't.
They'll have to find a way to save their own.
Just what the hell did you do to those sharks?
Did you feel something?
Jim and I use gene therapies to increase their brain mass.
What is that?
As a side effect, the sharks got smarter.
Somebody, please, tell me what that is.
In a remote underwater facility, Doctors Susan McAllister and Jim Whitlock are conducting research on Mako sharks to help in the reactivation of dormant human brain cells like those found in Alzheimer's disease patients. After one of the sharks escapes the facility and attempts to attack a boat full of teenagers, financial backers send corporate executive Russell Franklin to investigate the facility. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Well, Dave, I've got to say, I think it starts well. And obviously Jim Whitlock, you know, the Punisher. I didn't know, Dave. I'm Thomas Jane, I'm an absolute IMDb'd out, because I went on rabbit hole last night of researching everything, just reading up on it. I know there was a lot of trivia and different things, but he did actually swim alongside a live shark, Dave, for one of them scenes at the start. But what they did was they made sure he'd done all his other scenes before they shot this. So this was done retrospective, just in case. Yeah, just in case. Got attacked, but yeah, they did. He did actually swim alongside a shark. But I think what's weird about this is I have a massive problem with this movie. This perception of size of the fucking sharks to the complex. Now, this shark they made with the main shark was 26 meters, Dave. 26 feet, sorry. And that's because Jaws was 25 feet. So they wanted to make it one meter bigger, the animatronics and all that stuff. It's good. Like it's got good suspense, and I can understand the reviews. I really struggled watching this and believing it, because the sharks don't look as big as what were supposed to be perceived on the, you know, what they talk about, and they you know, they're modified. They're trying to do something, because they get around the fucking whole plantation pretty easy in shallow water, Dave. So anyway,
plantation. I think,
pardon.
Is that what it's called? A plantation? Are you sure?
I don't know. I've just threw that in there, Dave. I couldn't think of a word. The fucking, what is it? It's like a station, isn't it? It's a station, isn't it? A scientific station or whatever it is. But I think it starts well. We get that Jim Whitlock is this badass, and obviously Samuel L. Jackson's character's there, and he's like, no, he's shouting, isn't he? You know what I mean? Like, because he thinks he's going to get eaten up by the shark. But I got vibes, Dave. I don't know about you. I think they've ripped a lot of stuff off from Jurassic Park, you know.
Oh, definitely.
100%. I know I've talked a lot, but what did you think of it all, Dave?
I fucking love this movie, Chris. I mean, there's that irrational part of my brain, which is like, I'm fucking terrified of sharks, but I must watch a shark movie. I think it starts off great. I think it has that real Jaws feel, doesn't it? And, you know, you can sort of feel it. It's 99, but it feels like that 2000s sort of thing. They redid Piranha, didn't they? I haven't ever watched it, but that kind of thing of all these, you know, hot, sexy young people on a boat and stuff, and you're like, well, you're fucked, aren't you? You are going to be yeah. shark bait. And then that's kind of how you think it's going to go. I mean, when he shoots the shark, you know, he harpoons it, doesn't he, to stop, you know, the attack on this boat. It sort of defies physics.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of defying of physics, I think, in this movie. And, you know, because it is 99 and the CGI doesn't hold up that well, but I can't hold that too much against it. I do like the physical shark that they made up, like later on when they put it to sleep, or at least they think they have, and, you know, they bring it out. I think that looks amazing. But, you know, when kind of Samuel L. Jackson is coming in on the helicopter and stuff, I can hear it now. I can hear the Jurassic Park music, and I just think that whole kind of rich benefactor, you know, the hubris, you know, the arrogance of trying to set something like this up. Now, to be fair, it's the scientist, isn't it, who's the naughty one here, because they don't really know what she's doing, so they're just investing in this research to try and find a cure for Alzheimer's disease, you know. But yeah, it's actually Dr. Susan McAllister, isn't it, who's a bit of a Frankenstein kind of thing. She's bending the ethical laws, you know, to get what she wants. So yeah, I think it's set up really well, but definitely I you know, the movies that this is ripped off, I mean, Jaws is the obvious one, but yeah, I would almost put Jurassic Park as that second one, Chris, because they just the whole feel of it.
Yeah, honestly, and I think you're right. I mean, I've called them wrong. Actually, Carter Blake is Thomas Jane's character. Jim is Stellan Skarsgård, whatever he's called, out of Thor and everything, yeah. And Marvel. A couple of Marvel links, Dave. You know, obviously Nick Fury. We've got him out of Thing of Day. You've got the Punisher as well. Obviously, it's not the MCU, but you've got a few characters down the line. But I think for me, LL Cool J in that kitchen, and he's making cakes. The kitchen's tiny. The way they've got this whole island they've built or whatever it is like a submarine. So the roofs are no taller than, say, 7 foot. And when we go through it, and I like the idea of it, they're doing this testing, and they're like super sharks, aren't they? Because the brains aren't big enough. And it's like you say, it's like Frankenstein's monster. But it's when I do like the suspense side of it, is when they're all in like their rooms and they've got them portholes and the fucking sharks are coming up looking at them, aren't they? And they're looking at them and you're hearing it and everyone's looking over the shoulder going, is that real? You know, LL Cool J's doing the cake and he's like, what the fuck's that noise? You know, because there's something going on that they're not aware about. And we do get nearly half an hour of just talking, building stuff up. Obviously, before Samuel Jackson gets there, obviously he ends up, they decide, right, you're going to come. And he, you know, comes out like you say. And then you've got that whole, you know, John Hammond thing and all that again. But yeah, it feels very familiar. I think the suspense stuff with the shark is good. But I'm not bought into the shark like I'm with Jaws, if that makes sense. I know there's more than one shark, but I can't get out of my head, Dave. This is supposed to be a 26-foot shark, and it looks about 7 foot, and it needs to be 7 foot to get around this fucking complex when all hell breaks loose. So I don't feel the suspense. I feel the suspense when they're building up to it, but when the shark actually becomes a killer, a predator, and he's going after people, there's only one bit that made me jump later on. But yeah, I really struggled with this. I think it starts off really well, so about half an hour in, and then 45 minutes in, we get the first bit of like blood and all that. And then I really struggled with this one. I just didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would.
Interesting. I mean, look, Chris, when we were kids, we were watching Transformers, and I've said many times now that Megatron always used to do my head in because he was massive and then turned into this tiny little pistol for Starscream to shoot something. It's like, but you've got a massive fucking cannon on your arm.
Yeah.
And then you're a handgun. Into a gun.
Like Han Solo's gun, yeah.
It's just weird. So maybe I'm more forgiving in this case when they're talking about the size of the shark. For me, 7 foot, 24 foot, I mean, it's difficult because when you've got the sea view, you know, it's hard to tell that anyway. And yeah, I'm sure coming face to face, it wouldn't really matter whether it was 26 or 7. It's still fucking.
Oh, it's getting the shit out of you. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But yeah. I like the way it starts. I like I say, when you have the boat thing, but that's the event, isn't it? That sort of triggers Russell Franklin to go out there and sort of look into it. You know, I mean, if I stand back and actually think about it, you know, Carter Blake is like this specialist fucking shark whisperer, isn't he? But he's obviously got a bit of a dodgy past. You know, he's like a shark hustler or something. It's just weird. But I like his character. I mean, I think he got bigger after this, didn't he? I'm sure he did The Punisher after this one.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And I just like the fact that when Russell Franklin turns up and, you know, he sees Carter in there and he thinks he's going to get killed by the shark. And then he does his specialist move, doesn't he, to grab onto the fin and take the license plate out. License plate was the same registration, apparently, as the one in Jaws.
I knew straight away.
But again, I mean, a definite homage there, like Tarantino level homage, you know, not just a blatant copy, although debatable about those two, I guess. But yeah, I like the way he's saying to him, oh, well, most of the time when sharks eat humans, they just think they're a fat little seal. You know, and he's just like got no respect for Russell Franklin. So I do quite like his character. And yeah, you can sort of see, you can get behind what Dr. Susan McAllister is actually trying to do. You know, it's a noble cause, if you like, but then it's a scientist getting a bit mad, isn't it? You know, and breaking ethical laws that kind of lead us to this place. And you're getting clues, aren't you, that, you know, something's not quite right. It's still Chekhov's gun, because they talk about the Geneva Convention ethical laws or something like that. They mention it early on, You know, oh no, we couldn't do that because, you know, that would be breaking this code or whatever. And so, yeah, honestly, it sounds like you didn't really take to this one, but I think it's great.
Honestly, the bits of it, the one bit I really enjoyed, there's two bits in the movie I really enjoyed. And when Jim, the scientist, gets fucking his arm chopped off. I mean, the CGI is a bit ropey, but I can forgive it. It's that bit of it just
fucking... So that's animatronics though, isn't it?
Oh, is it? I thought it was CGI. Oh, right,
When the shark's asleep, I mean, there's some of it, and especially underwater, like... And later with Samuel L. Jackson, like some of it just looks utterly.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that
ridiculous. When you've got Carter, he's there, like, you know, just checking the shark's okay and stuff. I'm pretty sure that's all practical effects.
Sorry, that is, you're right, because Samuel L. Jackson said it's one of the best that he actually thought was a real shark when he first saw it. It was that good.
If I was on that set,
I'd shit myself.
Shitting.
Yeah, I would. 100%. It's not, even though you know it's not real. It's like when you see these fucking like robotic fucking dinosaurs, don't you? And it's like, fuck that. It may just fucking go rogue here and just start killing everyone. You know, I always see him and think that same thing. But no, that's good. I think it's when he gets the arm bit and then he's got the blood, and it's the bit where he's on the gurney with the helicopter and the fucking shark just takes him and uses him and fucking battering ram, doesn't it? But what gets me, Dave, when he's using it to get through the window, the shark, we realise the shark's a badass because they know guns, don't they? And he's like, Samuel Jackson goes, what the fuck? They know that's danger, you know, so they move away from the window. It's when they all stand there as the fucking shark has just rammed this guy into the window and it's cracking. And then Samuel Jackson goes, after about 2 minutes, I think we need to run. I'm like, no shit, yeah. Sherlock. As soon as that window started cracking, I'd have fucking legged it and shut that door off, whether he's surviving or not. It was so bizarre. The woman stood there. It's obviously his partner. She's like frozen with fear. I get that and shock. Yeah. I can buy her. But I can't buy that all these clever fucking people, a guy who fucking swims with sharks, all these scientists, are just standing there letting this window explode in front of him. And it doesn't go with the physics, because as soon as that goes in that window, like they all fall about, but somehow they can shut the door, and it's like the force of water would not allow you to do that. It's bullshit. But what I do like, Dave, is it's like movies like Scream or whatever. Because it is a horror movie in some respects. Is you know which cast members are going to die pretty much. There's a few you're unsure of. Michael Rapaport, I knew full well he's fucking taking one for the team straight away. There's no doubt about it. And a couple of the other characters, because they're not that likable as such. You sort of know. But I do think it does a good job when it kills people, because you've got that holy shit moment. There's a couple of bits in this where I'd forgotten. So it did still get me, to be fair, even though the physics and the size of the shark is utter bullshit, the way it moves around that complex. Absolute bollocks at this point.
Yeah, I think you're right. I have to say, I thought LL Cool J would not make it.
Yep.
And you said you jumped at a bit. I'm curious which bit that was, but... One of the bits, and again, I'm getting anxious just even thinking about it now, but when the parrot is just fucking bobbing there, and LL Cool J is leaning over to try and get it, I'm like, fuck that, you're dead.
Blood,
bird. I'm sorry.
Yeah, fuck the bird. You can have your pigeon fucking soup or whatever. Yeah, I'm with you because you know it's going to happen. The only thing I struggle with that again, though, Dave, it's not that deep in there. And he can't see the fucking shark.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There is a floor to where he is. It's not like he's in some cavern or black hole where you can't see. Because you know that. There's just bits of the sea where it goes black and you're like, holy fuck, I can't see what's below me. He would be able to see that shark, but the shark somehow, you know, he gets in the oven. Now, that bit in the oven's fucking horrible. When he's in the oven and the fucking oven starts heating up and then he starts hitting it with the fucking axe and you're like, holy shit. But he dives over the shark again.
Yeah.
And then has enough time, because the gas has been turned on, to turn as the shark in this room that must be no bigger than 12 foot, which the shark would be bigger than the whole room. And it's charging at him and he ends up doing a little line and then throws the fucking lighter at you. Like, come on, this shark's nearly killed you in an oven, nearly baked you, but you've got enough time to be calm and throw a lighter back at him just to get the cool fucking hero shot. Oh, it's utter bollocks. Absolute bollocks.
Don't be bringing your realistic expectations to this.
It's very rare that I come through with this... It's usually you calling me out for this sort of stuff, but I was not buying it at all. The shark's about fucking 4 foot. He's also, even when he's running down the hall just before this and he starts to swim, the shark's nearly behind him, but it's like a Jaws moment. It's like it's 300 yards away. And the fin, and I do like the fins. The fins go smaller and bigger as the fucking film goes through in this. Towards the end, the fucking fins as big as the Empire State Building at the fucking end bit when he's fighting against Blake. It's bollocks, honestly. Fucking bollocks. Yeah.
Like I say, just think Megatron. It's fine. You can get past it.
I should have thought that before they come here more happy, I think.
Yeah, I must admit, I mean, I you do have to suspend disbelief a little bit at several times. And like you say, when he jumps over the shark, yeah, you're like, well, that shark's not that big now. I mean, maybe that was the baby, Chris. You know, maybe that was the big dad. You know, they weren't all the same size. Maybe that was the thing. But even if it was just the smaller one, I'm like, well, if you dive over the shark, within 0.5 seconds, it's turned around and fucking had you. You know, maybe not a real shark, maybe a real shark. Again, I kind of feel like it would be able to sort of maneuver back around. But these are smart sharks, so it would kind of sense that kind of movement in the water. And then he's fucked. He hasn't even got into his breaststroke. You know, he's dead. But it did, Chris. It gives you that fucking John McClane moment, you know. You ate my bird. And then great heroes moment, you know, big explosions. Fucking brilliant. So I could not have seen this one any different than you, I think. I'm quite happy to just park the realism stuff for some of the action scenes in this.
Oh, fair enough. So, all right, so I'll buy that maybe it was a baby shark, because the big bad's the one that's basically pulling the whole fucking...
Did you say baby shark?
I don't. Yeah, I've heard that so many times. That's why we try and go adults-only fucking hotels these days. Anyway, Dave, you'll be hearing that pretty soon, won't you? So, yeah, I know all the words to that. Or you'll hear the other one, Dave. Chichiwa, chichiwa, chichiwa. Yeah. But you could also do what we did in 2015 or 14. We went to Almeria and we had all them songs on. I think Baby Shark was out then, but we had chichiwa, chichiwa, and they're all singing away. And then up pops the old children's classic from that great entertainer who loves children, Rolf Harris, Dave, King Caracas. And we had to go over and tell the Spanish people that you're not allowed to play that song. And we were like, we don't understand.
Oh, you didn't, did you?
Loads of people went over, loads of parents. Oh, really? And he was friend. You know, when you make friends with a rep, like you're going to be friends forever, and you add him on Facebook and never speak to him again. So I've got this guy called Aitor on Facebook. Nice bloke. And anyway, he'd come over and all these mums, and I go, that's terrible, terrible. So we went, so this is God's honest truth. Complete. This isn't a great segue, Dave. We're all there. Obviously, Jordan's bloody 14, 15 at this point. I ain't got a clue what she's not getting involved in the kids club thing, the disco, the kids disco. And then he comes over and he went, I told him what? He went, you can't play that song. And he went, why? He went, it's from Rolf Harris. And he's going, who? Rolf, who? And he's going, Rolf Harris. He's obviously an American Spanish, by the way, Dave. I'll just throw that accent in there. But he goes, Rolf.
Like fucking dingy from Fawlty Towers.
Yeah, well, okay.
Well, yeah.
So he goes, so we're going, and Aidan was there, Aidan. Dave, you know, he's been a band with us, my brother-in-law and that, and he's going, no, I saw you can't, he likes children. And he kind of goes, I like children. And we're like, not like that. No, he likes young, and he went, oh, and the next minute he fucking turned it off, but his delivery of I like children was legendary, because we're like, no, you don't. You honestly don't go down there. So anyway, complete segue there, Dave. But yes, Baby Shark will be getting heard quite a lot by yourself, I think, quite soon, my friend.
probably. I mean, I think if I needed any encouragement into the sea, I don't need reminding of sharks at all. But I let's see. But I think, I'm so desperate to get on holiday, Chris.
You need one, mate. You need a break. I'm like Judith Chalmers, aren't I? I've got another one. I'm terrible, mate. I'm always fucking going on holiday. I think we robbed the fucking bank at some point. Sam's never told me, Dave, but we love holidays. I love it, just going on a plane and that is great. And you need it. You need a great break, mate. especially for me for a week, especially on my wanking stories. All I was getting was pelters of, you know, all I've got on fucking social media. I think Glyn had put something like, so we really know Chris loves wanking. And I'm just like, I'm so glad he didn't tag me. Fucking Jordan. So I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then I've got Spider Dan and Blake and everyone else and Maths, you know, all sending me fucking stuff. It's fucking brilliant.
Honestly, I was listening through to that fucking story, crying, laughing. And I knew it would catch fire. I knew a lot of people would be like, has Chris really just told that fucking story?
Well, look, let's be honest. My perspective is this, Dave. We all do it. We've all had a danger wank. And I noticed that they're trying to create a superhero called Danger Wank Man or something like that. Like that. Yeah, you don't see that on Discord.
Yeah, I saw it from
like
Jack.
Like Banana Man. Yeah. I think it was it Jack? So I've said it was, you know, fucking... Like when he has a banana, I don't know what I'm supposed to eat, Dave, or suck maybe to come Danger Wank Man, but there you go. It's a whole different fucking R-rated comic. But look, we all do it. We've all had a danger wank. I am just an absolute gobshite. Just throw it out there, Dave. You might say, fuck off, but we've all done it where we shouldn't have done. We've not done a J-off in between us and fucking wanked over a picture of an old woman who sat in the bed when she was younger. Now, we've not got caught. I've never done anything like that, Dave. It's usually just, you know, within the... I usually know my boundaries, key in the door, you know, all that sort of thing. You know, tracky bottoms on so you can put it in your waistband in case someone knocks on the door of a parcel. Yeah, we still do that. Anyways.
I'm not sure everyone has had a danger wank in the office to a Pamela Anderson screensaver, though. Well, you didn't actually get to the end, did you?
No, so. I didn't get to the climax, shall we say, Dave. Fucking brilliant.
That was brilliant. I can't believe they got away with that, Jay, from the Inbetweeners one as well.
It's awful, isn't it? Horrendous. It's fucking awful. Oh, no. Honestly. You know what? You know, I've done it before where why am I starting with these fucking... I don't even know what to say. But you know when you think sometimes, you know, like Steve Coogan had a character called Gareth Cheeseman, and he was basically Alan Partridge, and he used to like these little skits, short story ones in between Alan Partridge, and he was called, he did some deal, and he just went, well, time for a wank, because he closed some deal, right? So I've done that where I've lost track of realizing that I'm not alone in the house and thought, you know what? I fancy a bit of fucking, you know, whatever my tastes are, David. Let's go for it.
And then you hear the music, like,
yeah, yeah. Oh, hi. I've got a light bulb out. Can you change it for me? Of course. Can you hold the ladder? I'll hold whatever you like. Dave, I've been through all of them. I'm more an amateur man these days. I don't like the fake stuff these days, in all senses of the word. But yeah, I have done that where you think, oh, I could just feel myself loosening up. You know, a bit of endorphins being released, and then go, hang on a minute, I'm not alone in the house, Dave. But anyway, let's just carry on. Let's just
Jordan never listens to this.
No. He's not, no.
You know,
when I was younger, Dave, it was when I was younger, honest.
You were saying about, you know, people getting tagged on Twitter, and we were laughing about the, you know, tell me something I don't know sort of thing. And this one popped up into my feed, and it was something about who likes older women or something like that. And it was a blonde woman. And I thought, oh, I should tag you in with this. This looks like Helga. But then I thought, oh no, if I tag you in, like, everyone's, it's not, it was intended just as a joke between you and I, but I thought, well, fucking hell, if like Sam and Jordan are seeing that as well, it's probably going to be less funny, really.
They probably blocked me, Dave. Oh, anyway, back to the film. Sorry. Let's go back to the film. This, by the way, this won't become a weekly wank segment, Dave. Chris's weekly wank. We should get a jingle. No, it won't.
I was actually going to go to Samuel L. Jackson, but I think the thing is about this being a 90s movie, Chris, is, you know, Dr. Susan McAllister, played by Saffron Burroughs, she's a beautiful lady, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
And so, you know, as soon as she comes on the screen, you're thinking, well, what are the reasons can they muster up to get her semi-naked?
Oh, fuck. I'm glad you brought that up. Fuck me. I mean, what a body, but what the fuck?
I mean, she looks incredible, but I'm like,
fucking hell, this feels really exploitative now. It's like, okay, so she's going to electrocute the shark. That's why she's got to take a wetsuit off. And you can see him in the writer's room. They're like, oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. That is the one convoluted way we're going to get her to get it off.
It's fucking nonsense. I mean, she looks absolutely stunning. I'll be honest with you. I was twitching a bit, Dave. But the white outfit she's got, she's wearing... fucking diving suit, isn't she? You know what I mean? The wetsuit.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have a bra and knickers on. Let's be honest here, Dave. If she did, she'd have some sort of sportswear on, wouldn't she? But she's got this Anne Summers Victoria's Secret's white bra, which is a push-up fucking wonder bra, and these fucking thong on. And then the idea is that there's all this water around her. She can pull this electric cable, but she's stood on rubber. So obviously we know, Dave, that she'll survive. And then she kills the shark. It's fucking bollocks, honestly. That is brilliant, but it's also completely exploitative, Dave. There's no way you'd get away with that now.
Yeah. And coming back to what you were saying about the physics as well, you know, just, again, let's entertain that this is a baby shark. So it's smaller than the big one. And I'd have to go back and watch it, because you do see all three of them in one shot. And I don't think they look particularly different, but let's go with that. But even if it was a little one, she's just stood on a fucking table.
I know. But she can see it. The water's about 4 foot and the shark's hiding. How?
Yeah.
How is she hiding? You see her, the water's to her waist, and you see her going from table. She slips off the table, then she gets on the fucking desk, and then gets on the table on the desk. And I'm like, how is she not seeing this fucking shark? You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous.
And just the movement of the water, you would see it as well. Yeah,
of course you would. So, of course you would. The camber of it would come towards you, wouldn't it? If it's attacking you, I mean, look, it's a horror movie. It makes for think. I've just completely gone. Why I've decided to get a bit of a fucking scientific brain with this one when Lauren Avadon's there fucking tossing himself off in all the other movies I picked. I don't know. But I just didn't enjoy it. And it was more a case of like, oh, for fuck's sake. But I do think you were saying before what made me jump. It's got to be the Samuel L. Jackson speech. So he's talking, isn't it? The speech, and this is before this, actually. He's talking and he's got the wetsuit on and he's chatting away and all that. And then the fucking shark comes. And that reminds, you know what that reminded me of, Dave? Because I do love that one. I've got all three of them with Chris Pratt, the Jurassic Park movies. The first, the second one, I think it is, where they're on Jurassic Island and obviously it's got all of the dinosaurs come out and she goes to get the T-Rex because that fucking genetically modified T-Rex stroke raptor they've created is like the ultimate. And the T-Rex comes and Bryce Howard's running in stilettos, which is, I love that scene. Ridiculous. It's ridiculous, but she's got Louboutins on running like Linford fucking Christie and she's running with that flare, froze it. The T-Rex, I love that scene. It gives me goosebumps because we've not seen the T-Rex because it got killed in the third one and all that shit. Spoilers for everyone, by the way, but it was about 96 or whatever. And, they come and they have a fight, but then the T-Rex eventually, because of the raptor, wins and it stands up then, this genetically modified T-Rex or whatever it is. And then they always say there's always a bigger fish and the big fucking aquatic fucking dinosaur comes, which looks huge and just takes him and throws him under the water, which you see in the second one, you see the bones of it. But it's one of them scenes that reminded me of that. It's like they'd taken it from there because it was just, that's a really good scene that, and that was like, holy shit, they've killed Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah. Like, I forgot that he wasn't, I mean, he was in Jurassic Park as well, wasn't he, in the first one, but it genuinely got me. I was like, oh, and I did like that bit. I did like it. The fucking dinosaur looks a bit ropey. However, it looked fucking massive. That was the big one. That is the big shark they were going on about, the 26 footer. It was a good scene that.
Yeah. No, I thought it was brilliant. And I thought the way it was built up, you know, because all through the movie, they're peppering in some dialogue about Russell Franklin and he'd been on this expedition. And you can tell, you know, something had gone on. And again, you can't help but be meta aware. This is Samuel L. Jackson. He was fucking huge at the time, you know. So you're thinking that he's going to be the hero and he's just going to tell everyone to, you know, pull themselves up by their bootstraps and, you know, we're getting out of this and he's going to be the hero that saves the day. And then the shark fucking takes him out and just he's not running that one off, is he? destroys him pretty much. And again, CGI is pretty terrible, but that moment, I can see it in my mind's eye now where it's in an instant, isn't it? The shark just comes and takes him out. Amazing scene. I thought it was going to be the parrot scene, to be honest, because that's a proper jump scare.
Yeah.
But this scene with Russell Franklin getting taken out, for me, that is the most shocking and memorable. I mean, clearly not that memorable because you didn't remember it, but for me,
yeah,
that was the scene that I remembered most, before I went back to this one.
It's a great scene. And also, I wanted to just throw it. I sound like I'm some fishing ad. I'm not. I'm just reading the research. But one of the things I wanted to say, you know, the scene before we were talking about when Stellan Skarsgård getting rammed into the window, and I'm laughing about the glass and they're all still there. You know that scene when the water catches him? That's real. It's like a Alan Rickman scene, you know, in Die Hard, where they let him go and he didn't know and he's fucking, you know, Hans Gruber's coming. So what happened was the water was supposed to go behind him, rush in front of him, he said, but it didn't. It came from behind 3 tons of water, so nobody had safety harnesses on, so they all got thrown, and they were going to smash into like the set. And obviously, that reaction is real. And Samuel Jackson said, I only realized, he said, I was fuming at the time, but then afterwards we all had a bit of a laugh because I had no harnesses on or anything. But that whole reaction to the cast coming in water is true because it's not stunt people. And he said, I only realized they kept it in the fucking premiere when we watched it, because that's like he said, that's a genuine reaction from us all. He said, I can laugh about it now, but at the time I was fucking fuming because it could have been hurt.
I mean, for a lot of these stunts, you know, it is genuinely dangerous, isn't it? You know, and obviously we covered The Crow, didn't we? And you know, people have died, you know, on set, stunt people and stuff. So I guess for the reactions were good. But I guess when you were thinking you're in this deep sea research center and you basically got the ocean on the other side of that window.
Yeah.
I don't think it looked great. But knowing that bit of trivia, I think makes it, you know, gives it a bit more authenticity.
It does. And the one thing I'll credit this movie for, Dave, very reminds me very much of like Scream and stuff. Obviously, that came out a couple of years earlier than this, is all the cast members are up for being killed. The only one I felt wasn't going to get killed was Blake, you know, Thomas Jane, because he's the big hero, the big muscly, you know, like surfer dude, you know, biologist guy, loves sharks and all this thing, you know, like Chris Pratt's character in Jurassic Park. But so Michael Rappaport gets killed. You don't think he is. He gets taken out. Again, Blake gets away. He gets up. Then what I was surprised with, the blonde girl she's got the suit on, and that's a horrible scene, that, isn't it, where they're in that like chimney thing, and Blake's trying to get her, and she's like, I don't want to die, and then the fucking shark comes and gets her. Now that's bad, and all the blood, because you're thinking, she's not dead, because she goes underwater for a bit, doesn't she? And I forgot again, like I say, fucking saw it in the cinema and everything, but next minute she's gone, and you're like, holy fuck, anybody's up for it. But when they kill off Miss fucking Victoria's Secret's model, I'm not happy about that. Saffron Burrow. Now, she is a wanker. She did create it, so it would be unfair for her to survive. But surely one of the good people in the movie, even Michael Rappaport, even though he was nailed on to die, or Samuel L. Jackson, why were they not saved? You know, it was weird because she jumps in and I'm thinking, oh, she's going to get away with it. She cuts her hand and blah, blah, blah and all that. But she doesn't. She gets fucking taken apart, doesn't she? So I was quite surprised by that. However, just before she gets taken apart, these sharks have decimated people in one gulp. Absolutely decimated them, Dave. One fucking bite, they're gone. People, you see them snapped in half, taken in one gulp. Oh, no. LL Cool J, Mr. fucking Chef, he gets taken by the shark. He goes on a fucking adventure round the pen like he's on a fairground ride and ends up surviving. And he's got a little bit of a bite. This fucking shark goes, and you see it at the end when he's against Blake, has got a double fucking jaw, hasn't he? Like a lock. And his jaw, his teeth protrude. You see it at the end more than anything. But they've got the super powered. But good old LL Cool J survives, Dave. I'm like, come on. Fucking come on. I'm not having that. You know, completely plot device stuff. I mean, I was glad he was stayed alive in it, you know, because you need at least more than one hero. And he is quite a likable character, isn't he? He's a bloody chef at the end of the day who's just got caught up in this, like, fucking scientific hellhole of Frankenstein's monster. But that bit, I'm sorry, and it's the big shark as well, Dave, the fucking 26 fucking foot thing or whatever, or 45 foot, I've just read there, actually, whatever it is, and it doesn't kill him in one thing. He's bollocks, honestly. Yeah. And he stabs it. He has the just as he's being fucking clamped on by this monster that will just shred him, he can stab it in its eye and survive. Come on. Oh God! Well,
he borderline said he was going to knock it out.
Exactly. Oh, I'm going to knock you out. What a tune, Dave. I love that tune when I was a kid. Fucking loved it.
It was a great one.
Rap to the max. Great tune.
I think this movie subverts expectation a lot of the time. So even that very first scene when you've got all the young people on the boat, you think they're all going to be dead. That's like the opening to Jaws, isn't it? Where the girl gets killed
off. Yes. Yeah.
But it doesn't. It doesn't go down that way. I think when Samuel L. Jackson is giving his speech, you know, you're expecting, oh, you know, he's going to be the hero and save everyone here. No, killed off, two bites, pretty much. And honestly, Chris, going back to this time, a lot of the movies that we cover, you know, in the 80s and 90s and stuff, it's a trope, isn't it? The black guy is definitely going to fucking die.
Right? Yeah.
So for me, this was the I was expecting LL Cool J to die. And the fact that he didn't, I really like.
Yeah. He but said it as well.
Yeah, I agree. It's like the way they did it. It just didn't make sense. Now, if it was one of the baby sharks, you might be able to get your head around it. But we've seen how it took out, you know, Samuel L. Jackson, Michael Rapaport and stuff. And, you know, I think with the blonde lady who, you know, was coming out and, you know, tantalizingly close to reaching out and getting rescued there. But, I mean, the shark was just fucking with them. Wasn't it? You know, it's got its big brain and it's just being an arsehole. So, yeah, it doesn't make sense that it would just take him on a little bit of a ride, you know, and just, I mean, he's got puncture in his legs, but I mean, the shark would have to be really careful to grab hold of him.
Yes.
You know, and
very
not
dainty.
Bite his leg off. Yeah,
exactly.
Be really careful. Just hold on. There's not too much, is it?
You know, it's a puncture wound. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it doesn't make sense, but I think it's a great scene all the same. And like you say, with McAllister, I was surprised she got killed off, you know, because, again, I'm kind of expecting, oh, there's going to be a bit of a romantic thing between Carter Blake and Susan McAllister. Nope, she's just fish food. And you get that moment, don't you, where the shark pauses. And for me, I think, yeah, that's not going to happen. But for a second, I feel like the shark recognizes her as, you know, his creator or something. I think that's what that pause is all about. And then he's just like, yeah, you're fucked. Takes her out. So, no, I still like all of this. I tell you who we haven't mentioned, Chris. So, Brenda, up in the kind of control tower, gets taken out by the lasso kind of helicopter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Soprano's sister, isn't it?
Oh, Janice.
Janice, yeah. She was a massive fucking dick. I hated her character in The Sopranos. So, you know, I she's one of the characters where I was just like, yeah, deserved it.
Fucking brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, you know what? And fingers in it, Dave, as well. Beverly Hills Cop 2, uncredited in about 4 minutes in. Ronnie Cox, Captain Bogomil at Beverly Hills Cop. You get shot.
Oh, what's
Ronnie Cox? You know, yeah, he's in it briefly, I believe. And I'll be honest with you, that's in the trivia. I don't remember seeing him, but he did a couple of scenes. They were cut out of it, I believe. So he must be in one of the scientists. But yeah, he's in. He basically, it's one of them blinking. You'll miss him, and you see him there, stood at the back. Yeah. But no, I think joking aside, it's still got good elements to it. I just don't think, like I say, I think maybe I need to think of it more of they are smaller sharks until you get the one in the pen, which is moving the whole complex, isn't it? You know, it's doing different things. But when it comes to killing it with Blake, you know that Blake's going to be the one, and LL Cool J. I mean, LL Cool J's a chef, but fuck me, he's like fucking marksman, isn't he? Fucking some dead-eye marksman with the harpoon and stuff. But nothing happens to Blake. When the shark explodes, Blake's fucking fine, Dave. Nothing wrong with that.
He got, as the shark was getting through the fence, he got like ripped off. That's how I saw it.
Shark, I get you, yes.
Squeezed through the hole in the fence.
Ah, right, right.
And that was enough force to kind of get him off the shark. So he stayed back in the fence, and then, you know, you get the shark blowing up. Again, I feel like it's like a Jaws kind of nod, isn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously, right at the end there, you got smile, you son of a bitch, and, you know, Jaws blows up. So I kind of feel like that explosion was very Jaws as well.
That's interesting. You know what? We need to do Jaws 2 at some point, because I've always found that one a great movie as well. And another third one's absolutely an abomination with Michael Caine, and fucking it's in the Bahamas or somewhere. It's awful. I think it was Jaws 3D, that one as well. But the second one, yeah, I thought was quite good. I think it's a bigger fucking shark as well.
Bigger Jaws.
Bigger Jaws, yeah. I've got big Jaws. But no, Dave, I think, you know, as a movie, I can get it, and I can get the horror elements to it. I think it's a really, really good idea. And it stands a test of time to some people. Just for me, there was just loads of it. I just felt it was very weak towards the end. It was good that the cast got killed. It's a small cast, and it was nice to think who's next, because I've forgotten about the movie. But yeah, it just wasn't as good as I remembered it, if I'm being honest.
Very good. Well, on that bombshell, should we get into our final review?
Let's go. Now, Dave, maybe I should have said that after we'd done the final review music and stuff. But anyway, so for me, I think the idea is great. I never felt in danger with the sharks, but there's some fantastic bits. When the water gets, you know, the window gets smashed in, the intelligence of the sharks. But again, I cannot get over the size of the sharks and how they're moving around this whole compound when it all breaks in. It's absolute nonsense. And if they'd explained it a bit more, they could have been the velociraptors while the T-Rex shark is in the top, and he's like the one who finishes everyone off. He's like the leader. Mm. He's like sending signals to sort of talking to each other. If they'd expanded on that and they were like his soul or her, sorry, her soldiers, because the Mako sharks are actually, the females are bigger than the men, the male ones. So maybe if it's the female and she's controlling the male ones and sending them out as soldiers to go and do her dirty work and to get in where she can. And I believe that a little bit of context would have done that. Like, she's a leader of a little group and all that. I honestly, that would have done so much more for the idea of these fucking sharks being able to open doors, close them, move around this place. Even when doors are shut, they can just do anything. That just was fucking too far. And the fact that nobody could see them when they were in like 12-foot square fucking rooms, and there's this 20-foot shark there and they can't see where it is under the water, which is about 5 foot deep, is fucking bollocks. But as a movie, it's still enjoyable, and I'm glad I've watched it. I know the sequels are fucking terrible, but it's still an okay movie. So I'm going to go cliche now, Dave, because I've done this now for the last few weeks, but I'm going to put it at the top of Elm Street. So what about yourself?
Interesting. Well, you know, I would say it's better when we disagree, because we have a bit more of a debate about it. Whereas when we land on something like, what was it last week? The ultimate fucking weapon.
What a movie. I mean, I'm calling this out, and we've just done the ultimate weapon. It's got the same score. But anyway.
Should have got fucking Hulk Hogan to give the shark a leg drop, and then it'd have all been over in 5 minutes. But yeah, so for me, I fucking love this movie. I think it's great. I think that definitely you have to suspend disbelief with it. It is nonsense, like the physics of certain things that go on, like, you know, even right at the start where, you know, this shark is powering through the water and you got this tiny little harpoon that manages to stop it. It's just nonsense, but I don't it's one of those, and I don't quite know how I could scientifically explain it, but sometimes I can just park my disbelief, you know, just park that realism. And maybe the shark thing, that, you know, is one of those ingredients, because I almost don't care, because I'm fucking sat there with my sweaty palms, like fucking panicking as soon as someone's in danger with a shark. All logic goes out the window, and I'm just thinking about being in the position of that person. But you mentioned about Jurassic Park, and I think absolutely they've taken a lot of nods from that as well. It has that feel, especially in the first act. You know, definitely feels a bit kind of, is it Jim Hammond? Not John Hammond. Or is it John?
No, it's John Hammond, yeah. Yeah, it's John Hammond, right. Yeah.
So, yeah, the kind of rich benefactors or rich investors kind of thing. So I think for me, again, the special effects, the practical effects, I think, hold up really well. The tension in certain scenes holds up really well. I like the way they subvert your expectations a number of times through the movie. So, yeah, for me, it's a strong Pleasantville. I think it is a really strong movie. Some of the CGI looks horrendous, and you get better on games now.
Yeah.
But when it switches from the practical effects to the CGI, you're like, okay, yeah, that's definitely 90s CGI. But, you know, it's just kind of how it goes sometimes, isn't it? I think it's not as bad as fucking Beowulf, Chris, which was
from the same year. God, fucking hell. Yeah, that, you know what? And it's weird, isn't it? Because when we do these reviews, like you've talking about the ultimate weapon, it's like, how dare you do it? My fucking barometer for reviewing these is literally in the moment. If I don't like it, I'm fucking done. But that Deep Blue Sea is so much better than the Ultimate Weapon. You know what I mean? I think even Beowulf's better than the Ultimate Weapon, I think. But I don't know. But you know what I mean? It's weird, isn't it? You have a scale, but it's great because it's emotional. And I love when people call me out like, fucking, you've just given some classic movie, fucking sent it to Alderaan or wherever, and then you fucking give some shit. I'm going to say, in fact, I'll rephrase that, unless it's the greatest martial arts trilogy ever, Dave, which took got the top. But no, but it's true, isn't it? It's weird how when someone reviews something, it is completely subjective, whether you agree or disagree. I love that because, like you just said, there's no fucking logic behind this. This should go to the top compared to the Ultimate Weapon. But yeah, no, good fun. So anyway, Dave, what are we going to go on?
Just before we move on, because I mean, you've teed me up there, and I do need to sit down and work out how we crowbar it in. But I mean, the linear scale is just a bit of nonsense, isn't it? And like, people, I think a lot of the time, people, by the time they get to this point in the podcast, they know where we're going to put it. Right, because we've hinted at, you know, we've not just commented on the movie and, you know, certainly haven't broken it down in an academic way. So by the time we give a score, it's like a fait accompli. It's they know where it's going to be. But we did have a chat on our Discord, didn't we? And like Blake came up with a good kind of five-dimensional scoring system, you know, where you'd rate kind of different categories. And so I like I say, I just need to sit down with it and think, okay, how could we do that where, you know, potentially at the end of, you know, in this segment, we could say, okay, so we still keep our original scoring system, absolutely, but in this other scale, like, how would it match up? And so I just remember, like, I think it was called Fader, he called it. It's like his patented rating system. So we'll talk about it at some point over the next few weeks and may introduce that just to give a bit more context, a bit more meat to, you know, how the film was for us rather than just, was it, you know, 1 to 5?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. It sounds interesting. So Dave, anyway, Dave, what are we doing next week? Because I know it's a Patreon special, my friend.
It is, and this is from one of our longest Patreons, supports us on the VHS Strikes Back and also Chris and Dave's reality TV cast. This is Kent Gustafson. Also, check out his TED Talk.
Legend, yeah.
Really, really interesting stuff. And I'm not being funny there. He genuinely has a TED Talk. And this one, Chris, is going back to the 70s. Now, I was thinking, I don't think we've done, in the previous years, I don't think we've covered quite as many 70s movies as we have this year. And this is one I've never seen. And it stars John Denver, who is a unique-looking character, you know, obviously famous musician. And this one, Chris, is from 1977, and it's called Oh God. Now let's get into the trailer.
Meet Jerry Landers, just an average guy, married, father of two. Every day he drives his late model
Chris.
Car
you
to
know?
Food World, where he is assistant manager. In line for a promotion.
How yellow is everything?
Everywhere. It's like Morrison's.
Jerry Landers has every reason to believe he's a young man with a future. And he is. But it isn't at Food World.
Read this.
God grants you an interview. It's a gag.
Pretty crazy gag.
Not what you
expect.
Oh,
it's Warren Buffett.
Oh, is it?
No.
Warner Brothers presents John Denver and George Burns.
I remember George Burns. Oh, sorry, yeah, it's George Burns.
I thought you didn't believe in me.
Was it like Genie and the Lamp or something? Oh, it's interesting.
I want you to spread the word that I am. I exist.
And you think it's God?
Well, he thinks he's God. And I'm in no position to argue with him.
I'm not a nut. The ball is rolling. Right over me. Now watch over you.
Oh, no. You can't help but feel... Think about Bruce Almighty with this one.
Yeah.
Are you seeing now that you saw God?
Three times.
Three times.
God can't make appearances all over, don't you understand?
No, I don't.
People would be dropping dead from hysterics.
Can you sign this, please?
What if it were you? What if you were given a chance,
Jerry,
to meet and speak
up here
with God?
Let's go for a ride.
What would it take to convince you it wasn't a joke?
Change the weather.
A little rain?
Yeah, a small shower.
One small shower, you got it.
It's not raining outside. It's just in here. This is fantastic.
Thank you. I wouldn't be happy about that.
Dangerous. Yeah. No fucking soaking.
Of Jerry Landers, God.
What would be the reaction of your friends and family?
I've never heard
you
of this.
You got arrested.
No.
We had the papers, a little TV.
I'm liable to lose my job. Now, I am not crazy.
Well, God may have been interested in talking to you as an assistant manager. Now, we'll just see how he
Knight
feels
Rider.
About you as a
person. He's still alive, him, you know.
And I don't need some real psychiatrist to tell me that I didn't talk to God because I did.
Lose a job, save a world.
And of all the people in the world, why would he?
This is a long trailer, isn't it?
You try a little harder to get
the whole film away.
Yeah, yeah. I need to watch it.
Yeah. Thanks, Ken. Anyway.
Oh God. A funny feel good
fellas
sort of movie. Oh,
yeah. He was in, wasn't he in Sopranos as well?
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting, Dave. It's an interesting movie, that. I mean, obviously, you can see it's of its time, but. Yeah, Kent's picked a bit of a... we always say it, don't we? We would never watch these sort of movies. However, it's also one of the ones where you're like, it's an education sometimes. Sometimes it's a terrible education, but other times, this looks like quite interesting because I did Mr. Destiny, didn't I?
Yeah.
And this looks similar. Now, it doesn't... In the fucking extended trailer that we've just done, it doesn't play on the fact that he's not asked for free whistles. Obviously, the first thing I'd ask God is take a couple of inches off my nose and stick them on my fucking cock. Not the other way around, you wanker. Why did you do that? But you know, that's the first thing I'd say. And then, you know, then he'd be like, give me all the money in the world and every American muscle car, and I'm going to live in Vegas, and that'll be it. See you later. I'll do me 10 Hail Marys. Growing up as a good Catholic boy. But yeah, I don't know if it's that. Well, I don't understand. It's like when you meet God, but it didn't really show in the trailer. Is it like a, you know, Aladdin? Is it like you get so many wishes or something? I don't know.
I feel like
interested.
You're projecting a little bit on.
I know I am. I know.
I didn't see anything about wishes. It seemed to be, like I say, I've not seen it, but I'm guessing that it is a bit Bruce Almighty, you know, or
yes.
Bruce Almighty,
yeah.
Rather, is just taken directly from this film and stuck it in the, was it 90s or was it early 2000s, Bruce Almighty? I can't remember, but it's a while ago now.
Towards the end of, yeah.
Yeah, so So yeah, it looks like, you know, he obviously wants him to do something, you know, or, you know, it looks a bit sort of contrarian though, doesn't it? You know, I'm not sure what is actually going to happen, even though it feels like we've just watched half the movie. Like what is the point of it? Like what does God want him to do? And why is he just suddenly showed up for this one guy? You know, and so I tell you what, I guess because it's 77, it just makes me think of the Incredible Hulk show, to be honest.
Yeah. You know, the trial of the Incredible Hulk. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, well, the original episodes, you know, were fully back in this kind of time period, weren't they? So just the fashion, the music, everything. So yeah, I interested to watch this one, Chris.
Yeah, me too. Now, thanks for this week, mate. I really enjoyed it. Good pick. And thanks to everyone who supports us. We really appreciate you guys. If you want to email us, thevhsstrikesback@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @VHSStrikesBack. If you want to support us a little bit more, get over to patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback. So the roll call of honour for today, and a big thank you to Lee, Helen, Dylan, Stephen, Trent, Dan, Justin, Susan, Timothy, Matt, Heath, Kent, Lucky Lulu Green, Herb, Jax, Math, Blake, John Hammond, and Mr. Tony Farina. So thank you so much, guys, for all your support and everyone who supported us in the past. We really appreciate it.
That is awesome, Chris. I appreciate how you've teed me up there. And thanks very much from me as well to all our supporters, all our listeners. And Chris, what are you going to take us out with today?
Well, Dave, I have actually been looking at one of the quotes to take us out. And I must admit, you can tell it's of the 90s because there is some really bad body shaming comments in this movie. And as someone who struggles with that, and I got severe flashbacks from being a child, but I simply had an answer day for this. So when someone called me away, and I'm going to quote Sherman, who's talking to Blake, and he simply says, "You weren't the skinny kid in your class, were you?" And Blake went, "No, because I never went to class." That's exactly what I did, Dave. Fuck all to do with sharks, but there you go. Goodbye.
Very good. Bye now.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now?
What are we going to do?
Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's not.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
Ah! Ah! Get to the chopper!
One ring to go.
All right.
Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Come on. You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid fool.
Yeah, maybe you're stupid.
I ain't breathing heavy. He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 months.